5 totally true stories of the Yiling Patriarch to turn your hair white. And one story that actually happened. Written by Dragon of Eternal, and read by Titania. Summary. It might be past Halloween, but it's never too late to read about cultivation's biggest bad guy. The name of the Yiling Patriarch is a well-known one to anyone who is interested in cultivation, tragic stories, or just really, really messed up shit. Though raised in the perfectly normal Yunmingjiang sect, his atrocities during the Sunshot campaign and beyond have rightfully earned him a place as one of cultivation's number one villains. Because of that, there's no shortage of stories about him that would make a sane person sick. So, put the kids to bed and saddle up, because we're here to horrify you back onto the proper path with stories like... The Origin of Spirit Attraction Flags. What's the big deal about spirit attraction flags, you ask? Everyone uses them. And yeah, we do. I've probably got like 7 for each night hunting formation I use regularly. The ability to make monsters and ghouls come to you instead of having to pull a hamstring chasing them around was a game changer when they first debuted. But before that debut, he had to actually figure out how they worked and actually, you know, test them. Testing which involved real living people. In order to design his spirit attraction flags and talismans, the Yiling Patriarch used countless innocent commoners as test subjects to see what was most likely to attract negative energies. What at first seemed like freak accidents peppered over the borders of Langling and Kishan soon became clear as deliberate attacks. People pulling out their own tongues, ghouls turning babies inside out, and other horrifying things were discovered at the sites of these initial attacks, eventually culminating in the attack on the Yunmeng supervisory office, where over 100 people were killed, each in a different way, after the Yiling Patriarch converted all the officers' protection talismans into spirit attraction flags. Talk about a bad day at the office! And if creating terrible tools like that wasn't enough, he also passed on his craft in the School of Cruel. During the Yiling Patriarch's brief reign of terror, it was hard to walk through any market in any city without bumping into one of the Yiling Patriarch's disciples. Clad in black and red, these scions of evil would shill the Yiling Patriarch's latest inventions, from actually useful things like the Compass of Evil, to useless fucking garbage that didn't do shit. It's impossible to know how many disciples he had, not only because a few were bullshit, but because there were just so many. After all, he wasn't the Yiling Patriarch for nothing. After attacking a Wen prisoner camp and liberating countless rogue cultivators, he even attempted to found his own sect, further drawing in disciples and would-be cultivators from there, who went on to spread his teachings of demonic cultivation far and wide. Even his notes, often written in code that only those trained below him could understand, were widely reproduced and shared as a way of spreading his infernal messages. Perhaps the most infamous of his disciples is Zhu Yang, who started as a Langmingjin sect disciple but went rogue when he massacred the entire Chang clan. Although he was eventually acquitted, Zhu Yang never made much of an attempt to disguise his misdeeds or where he got his inspiration from, and continued to demonically cultivate until he eventually dropped off the face of the earth, hopefully torn to pieces like his predecessor. We have no way of knowing for sure, though. Stay in school, kids. Grave robbing. And more. When not experimenting on the living nor teaching people to pervert the very fabric of the universe, the Yiling Patriarch made time to spit in the eyes of the dead, too. Although most are willing to forgive the grave robbing he did while he was working during the Sunshot campaign to dig up the corpses of fallen Wendogs and turn them into his puppets. Like, that's bad, But it's when hating bad, and that's the kind of bad that everyone likes. Like when your dad goes to the Panda Express and yells at them for being out of popcorn shrimp. After the war, of course, he'd already developed a taste for it, and had to keep going, like all addicts do. The graveyards of Yung Meng were the first victims. Before he completely defected from the sect that raised him, he would go to places where the graves were poorly guarded, making sure to select ones that looked ill-maintained so that his robbery would go unnoticed for as long as possible. Of course, eventually he ran out of those, and started just cleaning out entire graveyards of granny bods. What did he do with them? I know your first thought is, why the hell would you ask that? Of course he turned them into corpse puppets. But that's honestly the mildest thing he did. At least if you were a corpse puppet, you can say, oh hey, at least I get to be rad, mostly in one piece, and rip shit apart. If you weren't a corpse puppet, however, your options quickly got a lot less dignified. When his compound on the burial mounds was eventually raided, the sects in attendance found all sorts of terrifying experiments in progress. Some corpses had been ground into a fine paste for use in poultices and potions. Others had their skin flayed, with the rest being dumped in a murky pool that reeked of blood to slowly melt away into an ooze of resentment and filth. And yet more corpses had been partially animated and seemed to be serving as, ahem, companions for the yielding patriarch. Yeah, let that one sink in for a bit. We'll wait here while you go take a shower in hopes that you'll one day be clean after reading that. Carnage in Changlo County. Cleanse the necrophilia from your mind? Oops, sorry to remind you. Here's something else terrible to keep you up. Rampant murder and property destruction. Everyone knows about the terrible massacres that took place at the Cheongchi Pass and Koi Tower that were perpetrated by the Yiling Patriarch. But his worst crimes were those committed against non-cultivators who couldn't even fight back. That's the story of Changlo County, located just a few li from Yiling. Remember how we mentioned all that grave robbing a minute ago? Well, when he tried to rob the graves in Changlo County, he got caught. Rather than run like a coward or, like, apologize, the Yiling Patriarch chose a different tactic. He decided he'd just increase his corpse count by murdering everyone. He murdered everyone with absolutely no mercy. Men, women, children, chickens, you name it. And then had his army of raised corpses raise the place so that there was no evidence that the towns he passed through had ever been there. Those who survived said that it was absolute hell on earth that no one could escape. No, I don't know how you get survivors from something that no one could escape. I write listicles for Buzzcrack Cultivation Weekly, not peer-reviewed academic texts. Hide your kids, cause the ghost generals are coming. We'll close out our review of the horrors of the Yiling Patriarch with a story about his stalwart companion in murder, the Ghost General. Is it cliché to talk about the first fierce corpse that could think as a monster? Yeah, maybe. Am I stooping for the cheap shot by talking about that time he totally ate a baby? Hell yeah, I am. But goddammit, I've been in this long enough that I know that if I don't bring up that goddamn time the Ghost General ate a baby, that's gonna be all the comment section talks about. So here we go. It's the obligatory bullet point about how the Ghost General ate a baby. The story goes a little something like this. Once people saw him break a window, grab a baby, and just, like, eat it. No, I'm not putting any more effort into the story because you've all read it a million times. Hell, I'm pretty sure it showed up on other Buzzcrack Cultivation Weekly listicles, so you can just go read those. You should read them multiple times so we get more money. Did you know that we authors get paid based on the amount of times our articles are viewed? Yeah, pretty crazy, huh? You should go reread some of mine. Maybe leave some comments. Oh, wait, right. We're still talking about the Ghost General. The worst thing about the Ghost General, though, is how the stories about him have persisted into the modern day. I'm sure any of you who grew up after Sunshot happened remember him being used as a boogeyman to scare you into behaving. But there have also been a fair number of seemingly legit-sounding appearances, too. Sometimes he just stands and stares. Others claim he's responsible for random attacks, and all of them are mostly concentrated around Langling. It's said that his eyes are the solid white of a mindless corpse nowadays, though. Can a fierce corpse have a ghost that haunts a place after he's burned to ash? Or did the Ghost General never really die? And if the Ghost General really is kicking around in some form or another, what's to say that the Yiling Patriarch himself couldn't one day return? Lock your doors, for what little good it'll do. And good luck sleeping tonight with those nightmares about baby eating and grandma corpse fucking. Bonus tale. Ayuan and the Hungry Ghost. Ayuan did not know any big scary Yiling Patriarch, but he did know a lot of other people. There was his granny, who was more like his great-great-great-granny, but that was a lot of words to say. Uncle Four, who knew a lot of funny stories. Auntie Ching, who was always really serious, but would sneak him candy when she was sure no one else was looking. Brother Paul, who had taken them from the scary place they were before to the big mountain and helped Uncle Ning wake up from a big nap. And a lot of other people. He didn't live in a big fancy house like some of the people down in town, but he did get to play in a big cool cave and climb trees and hear stories about all kinds of far-off places. Even when times seemed hard, he knew he could always find a hug or kind words to cheer him up. Once, around the time of the full moon in the seventh month, Ayuan was walking back from Yiling with Brother Paul when he saw a frightful spectre staring at them from beyond the trees. Ayuan yelped, clinging to Brother Paul's legs and crying, "There's something scary out there!" Brother Paul didn't jump, because he was one of the bravest people Ayuan knew. Instead, he turned his gaze to look out where Ayuan had been skipping. Scary things were common on the mountain where they lived, but Brother Paul always did his best to keep the most dangerous ones away. Brother Paul broke free from Ayuan's grip so he could kneel down in front of him. "The important thing to do when you see something scary, Ayuan," Brother Paul said softly, putting his hands on the shaking boy's shoulders, "is take a deep breath and look at it again. You might find that it's not so scary the second time." Ayuan nodded, and he peeked through his fingers to look at the thing lurking beyond the trees. The gaunt figure stared back at him, her hair hanging in tangled knots and her belly swollen and grotesque in comparison to the rest of her emaciated form. She was still scary, but Ayuan realized that she looked a little like some of the aunties and uncles had looked before Auntie Ching and Brother Paul had come to take everyone to where they lived now. He took a deep breath and was finally able to stop shaking. "There you go," Brother Paul rubbed his shoulders. "What do you see?" "She looks hungry." Brother Paul nodded. "I think so too. Do you remember what holiday is coming up?" Ayuan scrunched up his face, thinking very hard about it. "Oh, you and Granny were saying we needed to leave food out for our ancestors and set an extra place 'cause it's the Hungry Ghost Festival." Brother Paul kept nodding, letting him put it all together. Does that mean that she's a hungry ghost?" "I think so," Brother Paul answered, ruffling his hair. "And what do we do when somebody's hungry?" Ayuan's face lit up. "We offer them something to eat!" "There's my smartest little radish!" Brother Paul pulled out a bun out of the bag, handing it to Ayuan. "Let's go offer her something to eat." Ayuan took the bun in both hands. With Brother Paul walking behind them, and the knowledge that the scary, hunched figure in front of him was just a ghost, he didn't feel quite so scared anymore. Uncle Ning wasn't alive either, but that didn't make him scary. He was always patient and nice to Ayuan, and he sometimes even brought Ayuan back treats from Yiling when he and Brother Paul went to sell things in town. The dead were just people who were gone, but not quite ready to go away forever yet. The hungry ghost shrunk away as they approached, but Ayuan and Brother Paul gave her polite bows to say hello that made her pause. "Hello, ma'am," Ayuan said when he stood up. It's nice to feed people when they're hungry, so I thought I should share our meat buns with you. I hope it makes you happier. He held out the meat bun with both hands, bowing once more. The hungry ghost watched him for a moment, the eyeless pits of her face trained on his tiny form. Then, slowly, her clammy hand reached out and took the meat bun from him. She lifted it to her mouth slowly, as if unsure, and then savagely devoured it before anyone had a chance to try and take it from her. Bits of meat stuck to her cheeks, but a long, dry tongue flicked out to drag them in behind her blackened teeth. She watched them both a moment more, before returning their bow and slowly fading away. Ayuan looked up at Brother Paul, who smiled and nodded. Good job. Do you think she's satisfied? I think you made her happy, at least. Brother Paul took his hand, and they started to walk up again. There's lots of reasons someone might turn into a hungry ghost. They might have been uncharitable while they were alive. They might have died without anyone properly seeing them off. They may have been forgotten by their family. That's why it's important to try to be nice to ghosts when you see them, and look past being scared to learn how to help them. A lot of times, you don't need to be mean or tough to fix the problem. You just have to be nice and know how to listen. Ayuan nodded, feeling quite grown up and brave for having helped Brother Paul deal with one of the many ghosts that lived on the mountain. Auntie Six says that there are a lot of people here who died without getting to say goodbye to their family. Brother Paul gave Ayuan a smile that he recognized as the smile the grown-ups gave each other when they were trying to be brave, despite all the bad things. Yeah, there's a lot of people like that here. There was a big fight here once, and a lot of folks got left behind because there wasn't a way to bring them all home to their families. Ayuan could see why that would have been sad back then. Now, however, he was thinking of something different, and he was quiet the rest of the walk back up the mountain. Ayuan, Brother Paul said when they were almost home, and his sad grown-up smile looked even sadder than before. I'm sorry I said all that stuff about the people who died here. It's a lot for a kid. No! Ayuan shook his head. I was just thinking. I was upset at first because it seemed really sad and scary. But then I remembered what you say about how if something seems scary, you should try to look again. So, I think that is. He waved his arms excitedly, trying to find the words to say what he wanted to say. There's gonna be lots of hungry ghosts at our festival this year, so we should set out extra seats and extra food and say thank you to them for letting us live here on the mountain with them. Even if they didn't get to say bye to their family, we can be their family now and then they won't have to feel so hungry and lonely. Brother Paul gaped at him for a moment, and Ayuan almost felt like maybe he'd said something wrong. But then Brother Paul broke out into a huge smile and scooped Ayuan up into his arms. Ayuan giggled with delight, and Brother Paul laughed too, bouncing Ayuan into one arm so he didn't drop the buns and supplies they'd brought back from Yiling. You're right! They're part of our family too, and we should make sure they know that we honor them too. He nodded, smile never leaving his face. We'll make sure they have the best Hungry Ghost Festival ever. The End.